This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello and welcome to another live version of Road School Moms Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, co-founder of Full Time Families and road schooling mom to four brilliant kiddos. And on the line with me today is my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher and also a homeschooling mama of four, author of Road Trip Teacher and chronicling, I can't even say that word tonight, diaryofaroadmom.com. And we are so happy to be with you from wherever in the world you are tonight on this Super Bowl Sunday. And we're so glad you're here with us.
Absolutely, Mary Beth. Have you been catching any of the Super Bowl tonight?
I have, off and on. We've kind of had a crazy day in our rig, and we watched the halftime show, and we've been watching the commercials, and the boys are catching some of the game. It's just been kind of a crazy party night. I don't know. It's like a... It almost feels like a holiday or something, even though we're not really, I mean, we're football fans, but not crazy football fans, you know?
I do know. You know, we don't watch football but once a year, and it's tonight that we do that. And I do like to get swept up in the Super Bowl fever, and I like to, you know, make all the food and have a party. I think as Americans, I was scratching my head thinking about this afternoon. As Americans, we just really like to celebrate things. And I'm so happy to have so many opportunities to celebrate things.
Yeah, so usually, right, it's always something to do with a reason to eat crazy food and, you know, watch sporting events or whatever. It is a very American thing to do.
Absolutely, and I just saw Katy Perry's halftime show. That was very entertaining, and I saw it tastefully done. So that was kudos to Katy Perry. We've had two other road school moms over for the night. Robin Griggs, who you and I both met at the Road School Convention in Tucson.
Yes.
She came with her crew, and the Hamiltons were here tonight. So shout out to all those Road School moms, and thanks for coming to celebrate.
Well, I am Road School Mom-less. I'm just me, myself, and I here in Southwest Florida, back up from the Keys, a quick trip over the weekend. That was just a few days, and... I have my road school crew with me tonight, so they're my audience, which
yeah,
you'll probably
absolutely.
Hear because they won't be able to be quiet during our whole show, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing here. This is a family show, which means at any given time, our families might interrupt.
So true. So what's on your agenda? You're still stationary, right? You're in the same place where you were last week when we talked.
We are. We're in actual Super Bowl Central here in Phoenix. It's warming up a little bit, although right now it's pretty chilly outside. But today was a beautiful sunny day. It's been raining. We're really enjoying wintering west this year. It's worked out nicely for us. We're enjoying the wide open spaces and the desert terrain that this location offers. And we did two big road school field trips this week. We went and checked out Casa Grande National Monument, which is, I think, the oldest living monument of its kind in the United States. We went on Thursday to the cotton farm and learned how this area used to be a very big cotton production place, and how cotton grows, and we came home with copious amounts of cotton. So it was a lot of fun.
That's so interesting. I didn't realize that there was the cotton growing fields. I didn't know that that was out in that area. That's so interesting to me. You know, I can't remember. I think it was a year ago. We traveled through Georgia, and we went through some back roads of Georgia and up through South Carolina at one point. And we did stop at some cotton farms and, you know, explored around. We didn't actually go on any field trip, but it was more of a personal field trip, I guess. It's always something I thought of in the South. I didn't really realize that it was that there were places in the West.
That's exactly right, Mary Beth. I did not realize that either. I will note that at the National Monument, we saw that the Indians or ancestral Puebloans. I have a really hard time saying that, but I'm really trying. Used to grow cotton in this area way back when, and then to this day they still grow cotton in this area, and we learned all specifically about soil. And I'll share my Road School Mom fact with you. Did you know how many types of soil there are on the earth?
Is it 7 or 13 or something like that, or am I crazy?
No, you're super close. It's 3. There's 3
great
types of soil. Sandy, loam, and then sandy loam. I think I'm saying that right.
Huh.
So it was really cool. So cotton grows in this sandy loam soil really well. And so if you go on Road School Mom's Facebook group, you'll see pictures of cotton growing really well. And you'll see pictures of at that Kaywood farm, that farm tour that they did, which was like 50 people there at the farm tour. I was really surprised. They knew that we were coming because Road School Mom Christy Smith gave them the heads up that we were bringing a gaggle of children. And so they had a special program dedicated just for kids. And that was a really sweet gesture and a very informative program. We loved it. There was lots of singing and bracelet making and all sorts of fun stuff. So that was great. And then Friday night, Chris got the bug, and he said, I want a desk area. And so we ripped out the dresser in my bedroom, got a couple hangers. Oh, my gosh, those velvet hangers. Where have they been all my life? I feel like
aren't
an
those
animal
wonderful
using them. Oh, my goodness, what a difference. Why do we use any other hanger?
You're not remembering. Now, see, now you dial back to pre-Road School Mom show when you very first met me. Do you remember me giving you a whole bag full of plastic white hangers? Do you not remember me giving those to you?
I do remember that.
Because if you remember right, we were in Key Largo.
Yes.
At the Point of View Resort. So beautiful down there. It's where I just came through. And just in the last few days, I missed you guys greatly because the last time we were there, you were there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had those velvet, I remember this because I had velvet hangers from Amazon shipped to me at that Point of View. Do you remember this? And you thought I was crazy.
I do, and I did. And, you know, up until the minute where I bought them, I thought anyone who did buy them was crazy. That's just me. I'm just kind of judgmental like that, especially about hanging. Boy, what a difference. And I got the really cruddy ones from Big Lots. I got like 20 for $16. I could just imagine those Bed Bath & Beyond ones that are like $45 for the pack. They must hang the clothes themselves.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret about those hangers. This is just my opinion. Take it or leave it. You know, if you're listening and you have a scientific research or something, then I don't want to, you know, get in an argument. But this is just Mary Beth's humble opinion. So my first set of those velvet hangers I ordered, they were Joy Mangano hangers. I ordered them off of HSN or whatever. And, Graham, I really do like her products, whatever. But I will tell you that my biggest find on those, and I've used the ones from Target, which are fairly similar. I've used ones off Amazon that are pretty comparable. And I found them a lot in TJ Maxx stores all over the country. Now, if you're dead set on having them all be matchy-matchy and you have to have a certain color of green or a certain shade of beige or whatever, then you probably can't do that. But I will tell you that I've picked up some really good bargains in TJ Maxx stores with those velvet hangers, and they are like the good Joy Mangano kind or whatever. So keep your eyes peeled for those. And they make such a difference. If you are in an RV and you're decluttering your closet or looking for more space, velvet hangers are the ticket. They take up less room.
They really are. You know, when he took out the dresser, I said to myself, well, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with this clothing. And he said, well, we could hang it. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like a fun party to me. Because, you know, our clothes move a lot. And so it's not uncommon for us to move the rig open up the slides, and half my closet is on the floor. On the hangers are all swinging, like, free. Like, la, 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 look what we did. We dropped all the clothes.
Yeah.
I got your number now, hangers.
Let me tell you what I found a couple weeks ago, and it's so funny. I can't believe we're talking about velvet hangers like it's some kind of great invention or whatever. But I found a couple of weeks ago, and again, it was at a TJ Maxx, and I really don't go to TJ Maxx a lot, but if I do see one, I zoom in there specifically for those hangers because I've seen them so many times. And I went in, and they didn't have those, but what they did have were these three, like, super velvet hangers that had, like, okay, so the hanger was on top, and then it had a place for, like, you could hang four pairs of pants or whatever on that, on mm-hmm. one hanger. And Taylor just unloaded that today. We were doing some organizing and decluttering. And she just found those today, and I can't even tell you, like, I hung, like, I don't even know, like, seven or eight hangers worth of stuff on one hanger. I was so excited. I love those things. That's my new favorite thing. I'm obsessed with finding more of them.
Yeah, you're going to need to post a picture of that on Road School Moms because I'm following along and I'm nodding and smiling, but I'm not being able to visualize it. So.
I will. I will totally do that when I get a second here. I'll take a picture right after the show's over and post those because then you'll be obsessed too and you'll have to find it. But I'll warn you, I've been on this kick now for over 2 years and this is the first time I've ever seen these. So be warned. They're hard to find, I think. And
good.
Just my last little spiel on the velvet hangers. You know that I ordered kid-sized velvet hangers off Amazon. That's what I had delivered to Key Largo when we were there last year.
I do remember that because that's what you gave me, a whole bunch of kid-sized ones, and I was so thrilled to have them. In fact, I'm looking at some of them still in my closet, but their days are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have seen the light, Mary Beth. I have seen the light in it. And it is encircled with a velvet hanger.
So,
so what did your road school look like this week?
Well, you know, for the first time in a while, I don't think, we didn't really do any field trips together as a family. We didn't really go anywhere. I'm trying to make sure that I'm not missing something. We got caught back up on just some of our routine time for learning. We kind of went back to that this week. And we've been working this week on a copy word guide that, you know, I always like to try out my new releases on my own Road School 101 crew. So I have a President's ABCs guide just in time for President's Day. And so my crew went through a Presidential ABCs copy word guide and worked some puzzles and done those things. We done some writing prompts this week, getting ready for our Valentine's that we're finishing up also for our FTF Valentine Exchange. And then a little bit off of what we talked about last week, you know I'm a big fan of the park that we are in and out of this winter because we do have some 55 and older crowd where we're at, which I know creates a lot of controversy with some of the FTFs, but I can tell you that I'm even more in love with my neighbors this week than I was last week. My on Wednesdays and or Thursdays, an old retired, and I didn't mean to say old, a retired older school teacher has taken an interest with my youngest and taught her, working with her on her reading skills. And so they have really amped it up this week, and she's really learning her phonics. And so she came over one day this week and asked to take the kids to the bookstore. So they did that one of the days. They went to the bookstore. And I didn't go, and she took them to the bookstore, and they came back. And then the next day, sorry, my kids are trying to talk to me, right, while I'm on the radio show. She took them to the bookstore, and one of the things they bought was the Paddington book, like, you know how
uh-huh.
the movie's out right now, Paddington. So she bought Paddington, and that very day when we came home, we started reading it as a family out loud. So we'd done that for a couple days, and then she took all four of the kids on Friday, and they went to the movies and went to see Paddington after we'd read it aloud as a family. And that was really cool. They thought that was fun to read the book and go to the movie. That's really the first time, I think, that we've done that with a movie that was out at the movie theater. So they thought that was a really big deal. So, yeah, we just had a lot of back to basics at the beginning of the week and then kind of done some fun out-of-the-box things towards the end of the week. So all in all, it was a good week.
That sounds fantastic. I love that, and I love your neighbor for doing that. What a treat. What a nice little angel to have in your park with you.
Yeah, she really, I'll have to say that, and we talked a little bit about this last week, but my, like, you know, the loop that I'm on in our park, some of the neighbors have taken such an interest in the kids. Two of my kiddos this week have decided to do a garbage route with the golf cart. So they've taken on more and more customers, and they're not getting paid by any means. But it's kind of a swap deal. Like one of the neighbors is giving someone books, and like they keep collecting things back and forth. And so in return for that, they have decided to take everyone's garbage for them every week or every night. And so it's become it's just kind of become a thing. It's kind of funny to see the relationships are growing with my kids and the neighbors, and I just love it.
That's awesome. That's really cool. It's wonderful to be a good steward of what an FCF, a full-time RVing child, is all about. And I'm happy to see that you're becoming an integral part of that park, because when you pull out, that means they'll miss you, which is one of the best compliments that you can get as a full-time RVer, right?
Yep, I agree with that 100%. 100%.
Yeah, so on the show tonight, it's listed on our website that it's making room for exercising on the road, but unfortunately that did not pan out this week, but we have it scheduled for the 22nd of February. What we do have this week for you, it actually worked out really well. Rose School Mom, Rose Godfrey, has just penned and released a brand new book, and it's called Start Homeschooling Today, No Experience Required. And right now, it's actually free in the Kindle bookstore. So we asked Rose to come on and tell us all about her book, because I know there's some of our listeners are not currently road schooling or homeschooling, and they may be a little bit nervous about coming down the road for them, pardon the pun. So Rose is joining us. Welcome, Rose.
Hi. Am I muted still?
No.
Okay, good.
Hello, Rose. Welcome to the Road School Mom Show.
Thanks for having me on.
Where in the world are you tonight, Rose?
I am in North Carolina, and it's just beautiful here. We started out in California about a year ago.
Wow, wonderful. Very cool, North Carolina. That does sound lovely. So, Rose, I want to tell our listeners right now your book, Start Homeschooling Today, No Experience Required, is free in the Kindle store, and I've put the link for it right there in our Road School Moms chat at roadschoolmoms.com right there on the page. Right above it, you'll see the link also to Amazon for Velvet Hangers, which we have extolled the virtues of for 15 minutes straight, so I think we're good with that.
I don't think it was a full 15. I will have to check them out.
Yeah, well, we're going to, Mary Beth and I plan to pick it up at the end of the show, talk some more about Velvet Hangers. So stay tuned, listeners. You don't want to miss what we have to say next about Velvet Hangers. What prompted you to write this book, Rose?
We started homeschooling in 1999, and I knew one family that homeschooled when we began, and she just sort of pointed me in the right direction, the mother did, and things took off from there, and it was wonderful. And along the way, you know, people have asked me for advice on how to get started. And, you know, after you start, you look back and you think, well, that really wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. And so I would tell people, you know, it's pretty easy. You just have to kind of take that first leap of faith and you learn as you go. And you really can do it if you set your mind to giving it a shot. And so, you know, I've had a lot of people ask over the years, and I used to write a column about homeschooling for my newspaper. And so then I got more questions about how to homeschool. And finally, I just sat down and started writing some very basic advice on how to get things going. And I also, one of my actual favorite part was I talked to a dozen families, and they shared their stories Well, actually, one of them is my story, so there's that. But so I talked to 11 other families that allowed me to include a little bit about their day, about the fears that they had up front, about what their curriculum is right now. And so I think that anybody who wants to get started homeschooling could look at those families and kind of see themselves and get some really good ideas on how to get started also.
Well, that's so interesting that, you know, you included those 11 families. But for those that don't know you, tell us, Rose, you're a homeschooling mom yourself, right, since 1999, you said?
Yes.
And so how many kiddos do you have in your road school, and where does that come from for you as a homeschooling mom? Tell us a little bit about your situation.
Well, we started on accident. My oldest kids, we had adopted two children from Russia in 1999, and they didn't speak English. And so homeschooling was going to be a very short-term situation. They struggled when we put them into public school, and I thought, I'm a speech pathologist. I'll pull them out. We'll work on communication. We'll put them back in school. And we just loved it. We fell in love with homeschooling. It wasn't that we were anti-school. It was that we were pro-homeschooling. And so as we adopted again and as we added biological children, it just was the right fit for us.
Rose, you talk about when you started homeschooling, and I don't hear any of the fear that I hear in a lot of new homeschool moms' voices when you recount that time of your life. Do you find that a lot of new road school moms are afraid that there's a right and a wrong way to homeschool?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of societal pressure that comes from people asking, you know, how will you do that? And a lot of times these moms that are just starting out, they're looking at kindergarten. And, you know, personally, if somebody asks me, how are you going to cover the kindergarten curriculum, I'm kind of insulted because kindergarten is pretty basic. Now, you know, for people who've had their children in school for a while, I can see where they start to have that a little bit more of a fear there and where people might question. But really, you pull them out, you start doing some research, you just relax and let children learn. They're so inquisitive. They always want to know. They're asking questions all the time. And you just want to fill up that brain. It's easier than it sounds.
I'll agree with that. Don't you think, and I know Kimberly and I talk about this a lot, you know, who knows better than a mama what her kiddos need, right? I mean, really. Even though we all
exactly.
get that way, who knows better, you know, than that? So tell us, so when you started homeschooling, you weren't traveling, correct?
We were not. We only started full-timing last year. We moved into our motorhome on Valentine's Day. So we are coming up on our one-year anniversary. And we took off. We left California a month later. So we've been on the road for 11 months.
Interesting. So how can you tell us, did your homeschool change much when you started road schooling, or was it more of the good stuff and less of the more, you know, things that you left behind? Or how did your homeschool change when you got on the road?
When we started homeschooling, probably in part because our children had come to America and they were not familiar with the culture and everything, we did a lot of field trips. And then over the years, that kind of started dying down. And so in a way, when we started back on the road again, it felt like we were returning to that route of just going and exploring and finding out everything that there was to do that was new to us as well as to the children. So we definitely did, I know it sounds ridiculous, but we did more travel in the respect of we visited more places. We weren't just shooting through an area. We would explore it pretty in depth.
Well, that's really cool. Now, families that are not planning on going on the road, and you talk about this a little bit in your book, can, if they want, be as involved in their homeschool community or as not involved, right? You talk about things like joining a co-op, finding a local homeschool group, and even using the existing intramural sports as social outings for your children. do you find that that is one of the bigger hesitations, that homeschool moms, new homeschool moms, think that they're going to be isolated?
Oh, absolutely. And people, you know, the first question that people ask quite often is, what about socialization? There was just an article I read today, and that's the question that everyone asks, as if you're going to, you know, sit at the kitchen table and only, I don't know, read and answer questions at the back of the chapter. I don't know what they think homeschool is supposed to look like, but we never participated in a formal co-op group until this year, which we actually are doing since we've been traveling. And that gave us a little bit more of a sense of place. We're in a location for a few months at a time, and so that's been a good situation for us. But before this, we had our community all around us. You know, people, everyone knows people in the places where they live, and so we had a lot of opportunities to socialize. It's really up to the family as to what works for them.
How do you feel about, because I know that one thing that we get, that we seem to answer a lot of questions about extracurricular activities. So what's your feelings, Rose, on, for a new homeschooling mom that is worried about how to fit extracurricular activities into their homeschool?
For us, the biggest problem, are you talking about sports and clubs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think so. Sports and hobbies and things like that I think that it's for someone that's already been in the public school system, I think it's a little bit ominous, and I think, oh my goodness, how am I going to keep my kids, you know, in a club or in sporting events or, you know, whatever, things like that.
Sure. For us, the biggest problem with that was that everything occurred after traditional school hours. There were a few places, especially over the years as homeschooling has become more popular, there were a few gyms and things like that started to have homeschool club activities. But for the most part, if you wanted to participate in Little League or something like that, it's going to be after school hours. That was a challenge because, you know, it's an impact to the day. We've usually finished school well before that. And you know, then we start running into dinner time and all of this. And I always would wonder how people could even manage to go to work or to school all day and have all of that at the end of the day. So just kind of squeezing it into those later hours was the biggest challenge. Finding stuff to do was never a problem. And there were school districts that did allow activities. We were not big joiners in that respect, but we independently did ballet and karate and choir and music lessons. And the biggest problem was saying no, because there was so much to do.
Okay, so when we decided we were going to take the kids out of school and homeschool them, the entire previous year I had been working with the school system on an IEP for Blaze, who was 5 at the time, and needed
right.
some additional help. And it was just my understanding that if I decided to homeschool him, I'd have to throw all that IEP work out the window. But in reading your book, I learned that I could have continued down that IEP path and still attained services. Is that true?
In my experience, yes. And I am a speech pathologist. I've worked in schools directly and quite a lot as a contractor. Every special education team I have been a part of has always held the interpretation that the federal law requires that schools make available what's called a free and appropriate education to all children. And so private school students have access to services, and children who are homeschooled have access to services. The issue is the amount of service, because you will need to provide transportation to the school, and that time period is most likely going to be very small. To give credit to the people who work in those schools, there are a lot of children. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of everything. And so that amount of individual attention is going to be pretty limited compared to what you can give your child or what you might be able to get through private therapy. But, yes, there is still a requirement in federal law that those services be available. How that looks and how you work that out with the IEP team definitely varies by district.
That's so interesting. So what's your best advice for a new homeschooling mom, somebody that's just starting out or that's thinking about it? What's your best advice, just in a general all-around words from you?
Take a deep breath. Take a break. Especially if you were coming out of a public school system and starting, don't plan to show up on Monday morning with all your pencils sharpened and a fresh stack of workbooks. Take some time, get to know each other, get to think about what your goals are, set up a little routine that works for you, and plan to rework that about 365 days out of the year.
That's not true. Can you tell us I know that but now that you've traveled, maybe you've been in some different scenarios with different states, but I know one thing specifically for road schooling moms and some of us that, I mean, it's funny when you started and you said you started homeschooling by accident, our situations were different, but I'd done the same thing. I never intended, I thought that I was just taking my kids out of school for a few weeks and it ended up being permanently. So I too started homeschooling by accident, but I also started, we'd started full-timing and homeschooling at the same time. And so I think for new homeschool moms that may be on the traveling path as well, I think one of the first things that everybody talks about is, you know, they get so caught up in what state, you know, that they should, you know, continue to homeschool in, you know, what state should they domicile in or whatever. Do you have an opinion on that at all as far as maybe certain states that are easier to get along with than others? What should a homeschooling mom do in that situation?
Sure. So there are a couple of questions wrapped up there. And as someone who is not an attorney and does not work for the IRS, I could tell you that what state you decide to domicile in, and that is to be, well, it's sort of being a legal resident and kind of then some. That should be based on several factors, and they're different for every family. But I've been told that Florida and Texas are pretty good states. If you're just going to be footloose and fancy-free and running around, that's most likely it. A lot of families, you know, they want to leave for a year or for 6 months. Well, I doubt that you would change the state that you live in to do that. Most people just keep it at the one that they are in, and then you would educate your children according to the laws of that state, because that's where your driver's license is, that's where you're voting, it's where you may own a home, and that's really where you live while you're living everywhere else.
Okay. In your book, you talk about the different situations, because it's all well and good for us, all three of us, part of a two-parent unit, and possibly part of a situation where the dad takes the brunt of the income earning responsibilities, that we can homeschool. But you also talk about single moms homeschooling, grandparents homeschooling. Is it really possible for anyone to homeschool, or is there a certain set of criteria that one must meet before homeschooling?
Certainly there are people that face some challenges that I have not had to deal with. I did have situations closer to the beginning of my time homeschooling, because my husband worked for the Air Force and he had to leave the country a few times. And so that was as close as I've ever been to being a single parent, and it definitely changed things quite a bit. Having that other person to help with support definitely makes things easier. But there are a lot of families out there that have really made this commitment that they want to homeschool, and so the single parent is doing it. And sometimes that means, as you saw in the book, there's one family that the grandmother stepped up and said, I will do this. She rearranged her work schedule. They rearranged their lives for the child in this case. And there are cases where single fathers, single mothers, people just make an adjustment. A lot of times people will try to figure out a way to work from home, or will make a daycare arrangement so that they can homeschool when they're off of work, things like that.
Well, let's take that one step further. So what about, and whether you're a single parent or a two-family, you know, unit or not, what do you say to a new homeschooling mom who's facing pressure, maybe from another family member or
friends or, you know, or even her community in general, what kind of advice can you give to one of, to a parent that's maybe facing those kind of pressures as they start homeschooling?
You know, I'd tell them just to, advice is great, but you're the one who has to live with the decision. And have some confidence. If you come in and you're acting like you're really not sure about what you're going to do, that vibe is going to come all around you and people are going to feel like, oh, maybe she doesn't know what she's doing. But if you develop some confidence, and you're going to need some thick skin here and there, but, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's your decision to make. And have some confidence. You'll be all right.
Thick skin. That's a very good piece of advice.
It is. It is. And Rose does write about having confidence in your decision and presenting your decision confidently. And I think that goes, I think when I read that, I felt like, wow, this can be really extended to families who decide to go on the road full time, you know, by establishing a united front and confidently proclaiming this is what we've chosen to do. And if it doesn't work out, we'll do something else. But this is what we're going to try to do in any aspect of your life goes really far.
Exactly.
Very cool. Well, Rose, your book is free on Amazon through when?
Through tonight.
Okay. Good to know. So, listeners, if you want to get that free copy of Start Homeschooling Today, No Experience Required, you're going to want to go to Amazon and type that in. Or you can type in Rose Godfrey. And when you type in Rose Godfrey, you'll actually see three books there. Do you want to tell us about your other book?
Sure. The first book that I wrote is The Pig in the Pantry, and that came about after writing the column for my local paper. I had written a lot of the stories about what we had done, and one of them was that we had a pig in our pantry for several years that was in one of those little dissection kits, and we'd move it around from here to there, and finally one day we had 22 of our friends over to dissect the pig together. That was the launch of the homeschool column and the launch of the book as well. And I just told a lot of the stories about how we incorporated learning into everything that we do. And it's just a series of essays. Don't Put Headphones on the Cat is another series of essays. And Sourdough Simplicity came about because I make bread from scratch from a great sourdough recipe. And a lot of people were asking. I taught a class about how to do that. And I kept having to send out my instructions, so I just put everything together in a book for that as well. It's a short one.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on Road School Moms this week and for instilling some confidence in what may be some brand new homeschool or road school moms. Thank you so much. And we hope to see you down the road.
Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you, Mary Beth.
Oh, that was fun. Rose is a second-generation chick. Listeners may not know that we are writing a second Chicks Without Bricks book. Our first one, Postcards from Chicks Without Bricks, was published a year ago, like last month. And we're working on a new one centered all around national park stories. The working title is Rub Some Dirt in It, Stories from National Parks from Chicks Without Bricks. And Rose has some short stories in there, as do you, Meredith.
Yes, I can't believe it's been a year since the first book came out. I was just, it's so funny you're talking about time, because this whole weekend, I know I've been a little bit nostalgic and a little complacent, I guess, about how time is just flying by. Where's it going? How is it the 1st of February already? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know where this whole month went already. And for our viewers, like us, you know, the people know this. If you go to Camping World, you see a clock that doesn't show you what time it is. It actually shows you what day it is, because as our viewers, we barely ever know what day it is. but that being said, we barely know what season it is, because so many of us go chase the warmer weather. So it might be 70 degrees, but it's winter. That being said, it's just flying by over here, too. I have been looking at some old pictures of the kids. It's we're 3 weeks away from a big double birthday in my house, and I've been looking at their pictures and thinking, oh, my goodness, they were so little when we started.
Well, you know, Tori, she lost her tooth in the last in the last week or first two, and I don't know why that just, that, you know, I can deal with big things, and but little things, and her losing that tooth just about sent me over the edge. Isn't that crazy? I just look at her and I think, oh my goodness, like, I, you know, it's just, I don't know, just a different season.
Right, absolutely. So tell me more about this President's Day copy work. What a great idea.
Well, you know, I have you to thank because it was a couple weeks ago in our Road School Moms group. And if you are listening tonight or on a podcast and you are not a part of our Road School Moms group, let me tell you that we have getting close to 500 Road School Mamas that are in this group. And I absolutely love this network. It's a closed group. Now, if you went on and liked our Road School Moms fan page, then thank you so much for that. We love that page as well, and we share all of our show information and all that kind of thing. But our Road School Moms closed group, I love that group because it's a safe and secure place where you can talk about your Road School experiences and the resources that we all use, and we love, love, love that group. And I love to bounce things off of other road schooling moms. And so a couple weeks ago, I asked, hey, I'm thinking about doing some new copywork guides. What can I do? And you're the one that said, hey, President's Day is coming up. And I thought, ah, genius, what a great idea. So we took the ABCs format because that just seems to be such, for my kiddos anyway, they love that because it's usually 26 facts and it's not too many, not, you know, something that we can spend the week on. And it kind of has a format so they know what to expect. So that's what we done. So we looked up 26 quirky, some are known, you know, like Lincoln is the tallest president. That's something everyone knew about. There are also some other quirky little things in there, like did you know that there's a certain president who kept two tiger cubs in the White House during his presidential office?
I did not know that. I am fascinated to find out who that was.
So if you want to get your copy of Road Trip Teacher's latest guide on the presidents, you can either subscribe over at www.roadtripteacher.com or you can email me at info@roadtripteacher.com. And if you're listening tonight or listening on a podcast, that gets you a free guide. No matter when you're listening, just email me or subscribe and we'll get that to you right away. And anyone that's listening tonight on our chat window, I'm going to be posting the first few pages of that as a sample so that you can kind of see what that guide looks like. There's 26 facts in the guide. There's a little history on President's Day. There's a vocabulary list targeted for early and upper elementary kiddos. Probably could even use the advanced for middle schoolers probably. And some word puzzles and some different activities there in relationship to the vocabulary in that guide.
Perfect. I love that. And, you know, my kiddos love your copy work. They love those little tidbits, and I love watching their penmanship increase and just get more precise. So I'll be downloading my copy, and we'll be working on it this week. Very cool. We'll also be working on this week Groundhog's Day, right? Tomorrow is Groundhog's Day, and so tonight I'll be printing out some preschool printables for my little guy to work with. Like Rose mentioned, we don't do much curriculum before 5 or 6 years old, but he's getting to be 4 and a half, and he wants to sit down at the table like the big kids do and do some work. So I thought, let's break him in on Groundhog's Day. So I'm really looking forward to that. One of these years I want to be in Pennsylvania when Punxsutawney Phil comes out. We'll see if we make it. And then I think about how cold it is there and say, nah, I don't need to see that.
You know, that's funny. I've kind of had that. Like, it's on my bucket list or leap list or whatever you want to call it as far as going to Pennsylvania on Groundhog's Day, but it's not very high on my list. But every time it comes around this time of year, I think, oh, yeah, I really would like to do that sometime, but I don't see myself being in Pennsylvania in February. That's the problem.
Right, exactly. So maybe next year you and I should just fly in for Girls' Weekend.
That's perfect. I love that. Oh, Christy Smith is on our chat window. I want to say hi to her, and she's saying that she just bought our the National Parks Copywork Guide this week at Road Trip Teacher, and saying that she's loving it. So I want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, I told you everyone in my rig loved it, and Blaze is still spouting those facts. So I'm actually in the process of downloading my President's Day one right now. Thank you very much. How cute is this? I love it. Oh, I love Andrew Johnson. Oh, this is fun.
I'm so excited. I might download it for myself, too.
this week, oh, I'm so excited. You know what happens at the end of this week, Mary Beth?
What happens at the end of this week? I don't know. Am I behind? Am I forgetting something? Is there some date or something I'm not aware of?
It's rally time! So excited.
Rally time.
It is the Thursday, the 5th. The rally officially kicks off, although I see on my Road School Moms page that people are already pulled into Lazy Days and anxiously awaiting the arrival of Wagon Master Jennifer Miles and getting the party started. 4 crazy days of FTF fun going to happen at Lazy Days in Tampa. And it's killing me. It's killing me not to be there. It's absolutely killing me.
Yes, I'm pretty upset that you're, to be honest, but it is what it is. You're always where you're supposed to be, blah, blah, all that stuff. We are actually not up to the rally until later in the week, but I'm very excited to be going up there and connect with the other STFs that are in the area. And I know I've already gotten a text from a couple of people, including Greg Gerber with the RV Daily Report, who's already there up there in Lazy Days. And everybody's getting excited about it. It's rally time.
Yep. And then next Friday is the Legoland Road School Field Trip, which is now closed. Registration is finished for that. Unfortunately, this year they asked us to pay 2 weeks in advance for the tickets. So we had to cut off registration earlier than we normally do. There are over 100 children going, over 100 students, and I forget how many adults, some crazy number.
Yeah, my kiddos in my rig are really looking forward to Legoland. It was one of our favorite things that we'd done last year, so it's definitely looking forward to it. So
yeah,
I see that. Do you have your, does your rig have their Valentine's done that is going, are your Valentine's going in the mail tomorrow?
My Valentine's are going in the mail tomorrow. Thank you for reminding me. The third annual FTF Valentine's Exchange for FTF members is happening this week. So if you're on that list, go ahead and get your Valentine's in the mail, early this week so that the kiddos can get them in time. That is so funny that you brought that up because last week we talked a lot about how in our minds we take these easy-to-do tasks and blow them up into these impossible-to-do tasks that we then never, ever get done, and then we feel badly about ourselves. So, perfect example, Valentine's Exchange. I'm saying to myself, okay, well, what can I do for the 50 children on the Valentine's Day Exchange list times 4? Because it's not really what I can do, it's what my 4 children can do for the 50 children on the list. And I'm, looking up all these adorable Pinterest things, which will take us about 5 weeks. So we'll get the Valentine's out sometime in June. It'll be great.
That's so true.
Yeah, right? So, I say to myself, I know what I have to do here. I have to take the kids to the dollar store, let them pick those silly cardboard perforated things that you and I talked about, and let them give them the list of the names and let them fill them out. That alone is going to take about 3 hours. So that should be good enough. And so I was walking with Laura the morning after a show talking about this phenomenon of, oh my gosh, and I'm so excited, and then we can do this, and then we can do that, and then we can do the other thing, and then nothing gets done. And she said, you should have a 3-step governor on your life. And I thought, I have to share this with the Road School Moms. So when you are about to do something, limit that something to being completed within 3 steps. If you can't complete it in 3 steps, don't even think about doing it, right? Just limit it to the top 3 steps. So the 3 steps were go to the dollar store, print out the list of names, and let the kids address them. And then I was done and done. So that's what we did. How about you?
The 3 steps, that's, I'd have to take the 3-step plan and I'd have to have sub-steps and 3-steps and side steps. That'd be a big thing for me. That would be big, big, big. That's why Laura's with you, see? I only have to take that advice from across the country.
Yeah. But it's good. It's good to, reel your brain in, even if you can't. Okay, so it's more than 3 steps because then I had to address the envelopes, and then I said, well, I want to put a little something special from our family in there in each one. So it turned out into being more than three steps. But the basic idea was to be able to reel myself in. And so those cute little, like, melt the crayons down and put them in a mold and blah, 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 that's out of three steps. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to go down that road.
Well, everyone, and I'll just be honest, because, so, you know, we've talked a lot about this too lately. We're just going to lay it out there. So I can tell you that everyone in my rig got in a big argument about what we were spending for Valentine's. And we've just now, as of this morning, came to an agreement on what everyone could do. And we've unanimously decided. And so that is actually going to be our road school day tomorrow. It's going to be all about finishing our Valentine's. We have the supplies. And we already have the list printed out, so we're good on that nature. We just have to get it done, and that's what we're going to do tomorrow. And I thought, as you know, that Mondays are our Manatee Monday. We go to a park and do what we call lunch and learn, take our lunch and whatever road schooling we're doing for that day we take with us. So tomorrow it's going to be all about Valentine's, and our deadline for that is 3:30 because that's when we have to put them in the mail. And that's the one thing we all did agree on, is that we were going to put them in the mail tomorrow. So one way or another, they're going out.
Good for you. That's excellent. So, yeah, exactly. And the point is, you know, my kids were absolutely enthralled with those little paper things. That, you know, as adults, we make this into a big deal because we think it's not good enough. But it is good enough. The kids were really happy with them, and they said, I want to set this one aside for this person, and I know that person would like this one. And they made it into this big thing. So, okay, so be it.
Yeah, well, I've created monsters in my own rig with the ones that we've done previously. Now, see, Tori would be all about that, and even Taylor probably, but the boys had some crazy ideas. But we worked through it, and we're all still alive, and we're all in one piece, so Valentine's are good.
Good. Good job. Good job, Mom. Very good. What else is coming up for you this week?
Well, on the heels of our presidential ABCs, we have a Valentine's Day ABCs guide coming out. And so, as you know, like I mentioned before, I run that by my Road School 101 crew. So they'll be finishing that up this week. And we've got a couple of field trips scheduled this week. And another road school and family that we have down here, as I talked to you about a couple weeks ago, my kiddos have really gotten into paintball. And that this is going to be Paintball Saturday coming up this weekend. So that's on our schedule. Really, we have a lot. This last week was a lot of time at home in our rig, but this next week seems like we're going to be gone a lot, have a lot going on outside. So looks like a busy week ahead.
Very cool. We are, I don't know what we have planned this week. We are in search of bikes. Okay, so we talked about velvet hangers. Let's talk for a few minutes that we have left about overpriced bikes, because we have been traveling this country and we have been burning through Walmart bikes, just burning through them. They're $50 a pop or whatever, sometimes $65, maybe sometimes even $85, but they do not last at all. So we went to a bike shop to inquire about bikes that would last, and we found out that bikes that last cost about $250. And I have no doubt those bikes last. But the way that my children use bikes abuse bikes, the problem I would have is I'm leaving them around and then their $250 bike getting stolen. So, and then it lasting forever for someone else. So,
yeah.
So I came up with a happy medium, which is to look for really expensive bikes on the Craigslist market that are, you know, that have some use on them and that have been marked down. And if they require a tune-up, so be it. We'll get them tuned up. But, you know, then we'll get the best of both worlds. So we are hot and heavy on the search for bikes. Dominica's Valbrona's bike and Tonya's bike broke beyond recognition in Denver, so we had to get rid of it. And so there's only three bikes for four children. I think you know what that means, Mary Beth. Not pretty.
No, that's not a good variable.
No. Do you travel with bikes?
We do. Everyone has a bike. And I'll tell you that about this time, because I did not have a bike on the road, and I missed my bike, and every once in a while I'd ride one of the boys' bikes, but we wanted to go for a bike ride together. Then, you know, somebody always had to walk. And actually, my dad, right before my birthday last year, bought a bike. And that's so funny. I had, I don't know if we've talked about this, but, you know, I've always seen the fold-up bikes like you get at Camping World or whatever, you know. And I always thought, oh, my gosh, really? Like, that isn't even a real bike. But I can tell you that my dad bought me one because for the sake of space at the time, that was before we had our trailer, and I did not think we could fit another bike into our, because we used to, so we didn't, before we had our trailer, we put our bikes inside of our tow vehicle that we towed behind our motorhome. And so I didn't feel like we had the room for another bike. So I bought, my dad bought me one of those fold-up bikes, and I love that thing. It is so slick, and it's compact, and I just really like it. So I have a bike, and all the kiddos have a bike, and I don't know, our kids' bikes are kind of middle of the road. They're not the super cheap ones, definitely not the $250 ones, kind of somewhere in the middle of the road. And they take pretty good care of them. That's one thing that they ride a lot. They ride bikes about every day. So, as I know you.
Yeah, absolutely. Our kids like to ride bikes every day, too. And Chris, actually, at that bike shop, wound up getting himself a used bike. And I tell you, what a difference. He got what would be, I guess, a $550 bike if it was new, and he got it for a great deal because it was used and on consignment there. It's like riding a dream. Oh, my goodness, what a difference. I've had a whole bunch of those Walmart bikes, and they're so heavy. The frames are so heavy. And this bike is just, it just sails right under you. It's really cool.
Fun.
Yeah, so we're on the hunt for bikes. Before we wrap up, let's tell me how your Orange Rhino challenge is going.
You know, it's so funny. Do you find now that you don't even think that you're really doing the Orange Rhino challenge because now it's just kind of a way of life? I mean, I feel like I'm far enough into it now that I mean, obviously, if I really hauled off and yelled at somebody, somebody would have to call me out and call you on the phone and tell you all about it. But I don't even hardly think about it anymore. It's just kind of a way of life. How about you?
I am finding myself not yelling. I have not yelled. That is true. But the challenge is yell less, love more. And I have found myself falling into old habits, although not yelling, old habits of not talking nicely. And so I have to be more cognizant of that because I see that happening. I see that creeping back in. There was, in the beginning, I was really patient and I, you know, bit my tongue and didn't say hurtful things and I didn't lash out. But I see, you know, we talk a lot about triggers. I see the triggers and I see how it makes me when I'm tired or hungry and someone asks a dumb question, I call them out on it instead of not saying anything, which is the right thing to do, or, you know, answering nicely, which is the other right thing to do. I need to work on that.
That's point taken, because I'll have to say that, yeah, that's an interesting observation. I don't think I'd come to that conclusion here yet, but now that you're pointing it out, I'd have to say that I'm probably not too far behind you on that. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to be a homeschooling mom in the lifestyle that we live and not take your stresses out on those around you. It's hard. You have to find an alternative for that stress or an alternative for that energy or something. You just have to.
Right, exactly. And it is hard. And I found myself pretty tired the last couple of weeks, pretty exhausted by this whole road schooling initiative. There's a lot of pushback that I get sometimes. There's a lot of negotiating that goes on, unsanctioned negotiating. And I just get really tired of it sometimes, especially in the winter doldrums when we're doing less field tripping and more inside studies. And there's more, but Mom, or I don't want to write that, or I don't, do I have to, blah, blah, blah. And there's been even more since Laura Hamilton sent her road schooler Aiden to school. He's been bringing back little tidbits about what goes on in school. I don't know how I forgot all these things, but it's bringing additional stress into my road school, I've noticed, in the form of, well, you know, if they had to go to school, what would happen? Because we've we've come so far with those little things that don't matter. The other day, I say, okay, write me a story about the cotton field trip. And Dominic opens the notebook willy-nilly and just starts writing in it, in the middle of the notebook. And I go, can you write where you last left off? And he goes, why would it matter? It's not that it matters. Paper is paper, and it really shouldn't matter, but it does matter. And if you were ever going to school, it would really matter a lot. So could you just do that? You know, just silly things like that, that we've, I don't want to say let slip, but they just don't matter in our life. It doesn't matter where he writes it. He's going to read it to me that one time. I'm going to look it over. As long as it's satisfactory, I'm going to give it back to him, and he's going to be done. And then the next writing assignment, he's just going to open the book willy-nilly, and if there's writing there, he's just going to keep flipping till he finds the writing and do it again. So it's not like it needs to be in any chronological order, because they're not really chronological assignments, but it's just so funny, you know, how these standardized motions that they go through in school, you lose that in your home school or your road school. Maybe I'm talking to myself.
You're not talking to yourself. I kicked myself right off the line. Sorry about that.
Oh. So I was just bemoaning that fact of, gosh, you know, I don't want to replicate school in the house, but I want them to be able to get along in the real world and not just, you know, I can just imagine what their boss will say when they just arbitrarily pick something to write on.
Right. Well, it works both ways, and really, like, in a lot of ways, I think that when we live, when we do what we're doing with our road school routine, that they get so much, they have so much more autonomy and independence to really explore and see, you know, the things that are important. But I also do get the fact that we want them to still, you know, you can live outside the box, but you still have to know where the lines for the box are, right?
Right. Absolutely. So, well said.
Fine line and a balance there.
That's right. Okay, so next week, I'm super excited. Obviously, you've heard of Escapees, Mary Beth. We all have. Escapees is actually run by three generations of the Carr family. Kay Carr started it. Kathy Carr pitched in and then created their mail service. And Travis and Melanie Carr are now running a new division of it. And Kathy Carr will be joining us next week to tell us all about getting your mail on the road. There's always that question when people are thinking about going full-time, how do I get my mail? And she's going to explain exactly what the Escapees Mail Service does and the ins and outs of getting your mail on the road. So I'm really excited to be talking to her.
Yeah, I love that. You know, this seems like since we kicked off the year, we've really been covering some of the topics and some of the concerns that a lot of families have when they're thinking about going on the road or if they're new to the road. But even some of us that have been on the road for a while, you know, it's so good to review some of those things. So we've covered a lot of topics in this first month and got a great schedule for February and looking forward to it.
That's right. And if you've missed any of our broadcasts and you want to go back and listen, they're all loaded up for you at Road School Moms, including the one we did with Orange Rhino Sheila McGrath about Yell Less, Love More. That's a great one. I also suggest you listen to the one about, who was that? A homeschool dad. Mary Beth, who's that? His name? You know what I'm talking about.
I do, and he was so good. He had the best words of wisdom. Oh, my goodness, I'm looking for it real quickly here because that was a great podcast episode. It's also available on iTunes. Oh, I'm typing as fast as I can.
And also, if you listen on iTunes, what we'd love is for you to give us a review. You can go there and just hit a couple stars. We like for you to hit all of them. It looks prettier that way.
for us. And you can even take a few minutes to write a sentence or two about what you love about the show. So please give us a review and a shout out on iTunes. We'd love that.
And as always, the family man, Todd Wilson.
The family man, definitely. Go ahead and listen to that if you haven't listened to that. That's a great one.
And if you do give us a review, again, be sure to give us a shout out either to Kimberly at fulltimefamilies.com or info@roadtripteacher.com, as I will be glad to send you a free digital product from the Road Trip Teacher website for any review that you do over at iTunes.
Perfect. Well, I hope you have a wonderful week, Mary Beth, and I'll be looking forward to hearing your thoughts on how the rally went, because by the time we talk next week, you'll have gone and done your Income on the Road seminar.
Yes, I'm very excited about that, and I will bring back rally news next Sunday night. If I get to stay over for the whole weekend, I will even try to come to you live from Tampa with some other Road School moms from that rally. And until then, have safe travels this week. God bless, and we'll see you same time, same place next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time here on Road School Moms.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.